I could easily say that because of the music that I've heard already, my two of my favorite all-time hymns, patriotic in nature, of course, but still my two favorites, the Battle Hymn of Republic and America, America the Beautiful. I love those songs. I always thought that song that was just sung by our young people should have been our national anthem, because it says more about our country, I think, than anything I've heard. The word independence, I looked up in a large dictionary, and it said in part that it is the qualities of self-government. Not be independent and to be competent. God told the people of Jared that they would be led to the choicest land upon the earth. And he will bless their seed, and a great nation shall rise up from them, the greatest nation upon all the face of the earth. And whoever will possess this choice land shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven. This passage can only be describing America. No other country qualifies for this list of requirements except the country in which you live. I am overwhelmed by that knowledge, and I am humbled by the fact that we have been able to exist all of these years with all of the problems that we have and still have. And our gospel and our church and our individual character that we have developed through the years must be anchored in truth. Truth that is supported by the facts from God. No one else can sustain those facts as he can. When Jesus was asked about his second coming from his disciples in Matthew 24, in the fifth verse, he said, "Be careful that you're not deceived." And that was his number one thing that he wanted to tell them, because many would come to deceive man. And unfortunately, as we know, many will listen. Thomas Jefferson once said in a founding document that you've heard these words before, but they are so wonderful. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In a time long ago, the people of this choice land had to rally together against an overwhelming force to secure and protect their independence. In a time in the future, we know not when, the people of this choice land will rally together again against an overwhelming force as they gather to a place called independence." The Doctrine and Covenants in section 45 says in part, "With one heart and one mind gather to a place, and it shall be called the New Jerusalem, a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place of safety for the saints of the Most High God." And brothers and sisters, it is a struggle for us to contemplate that in this world today, but we must. Our world, since its beginning, has always been at war. And we've been in many large wars, of course, 1, 2, Korea, Vietnam. But the United States has been in some 50 wars that we have supported other countries, as was mentioned by Brother Harry. And we have lost a lot of lives in that support. We're in that situation right now in at least 3 nations. But our world has always been at war, and America has made a great human sacrifice to preserve independence. wherever it is sought and yearned for. My favorite president is the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. And he was a man that recognized the weaknesses of our country, and he recognized the strengths. And this is what he said: America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedom, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. And everyone thought in history at the moment that it was happening that that's what the Civil War was doing, was destroying ourselves. And it might have, if there wouldn't have been certain circumstances, which I'll mention in just a moment. Destroying ourselves, is this a type and shadow of things that are here now or things to come? Is there a warning here that we must acknowledge? God has always had his highest hopes for this nation. He's been very much involved with us and its people. He's been with us during many tribulations because we still believed in him and his Son and the power of the Holy Ghost. Keeping with the independence theme, let me just cite three moments in our country's history of the many that show how God is with us. And brothers and sisters, the statistics still show that the number one religion in this country is Christianity. It is on the decline, but it is still now number one. One of those moments I wanted to talk to you about was the Revolutionary War. What an amazing thing happened during that period of time. Oh, we declared our independence, but Britain wasn't finished with us. And it took several years for us to finalize our desire to have independence. We had no army. We were outnumbered in the soldiers, 10-1. We had no war machinery to make any weapons of war. We had no money. We had no uniforms. We had no shoes. We had no food to feed our troops in the field. And then God got involved. You see, God knows exactly where he wants things to go. And it doesn't matter what we do or say or anyone says or does. That goal will be reached. And God was involved here because he knew there was something more that was going to happen here in this place, this land of promise, this choice land. So the nation won, miraculously, because God was in it. Moment number two. It was with the British again just a few years later in the War of 1812. This is an amazing thing. The British attacked the capital city of Washington, D.C., and since it was not protected very well, they got in the city, and they started burning down everything. They set fire to all the federal buildings and the White House, and things were burning. And our troops were at a loss what to do. And then from absolutely the realms of glory, I would guess you would say, this tremendous storm came up. And all the writers of that moment said it was a tornado. Now, there's not been too many tornadoes in Washington, D.C., at least the weather type of tornadoes. But there was terrible things that happened. And it rained so hard that it put all the fires out. And the storm was so strong that cannons were flipped into the air and wagons turned over, and in that period of about 2.5 hours, 30 British soldiers died. 30 more than our troops had killed in the Battle of Washington, D.C. We killed no one there. But God took care of the situation. He won again for us. And the third moment in time was the Civil War. I marvel at those few things I know about it. Brother fighting against brother. And since it was in the mid-1860s, could have been Latter-day Saints shooting at Latter-day Saints. More than likely was. And it's a fact that we don't think about too often. But there was a moment in that war when in the evening hours, when the fighting had ceased and the wounded were crying from the battlefield for help, across this little river called Antietam Creek, one soldier walked across a causeway from the cavalry, from the Confederates. And on the other side was a Union soldier in blue. And the Confederate soldier yelled out, "Hey, Blue, have you got any coffee?" And the man responded and said, "Yes, I have some coffee." He said, "Do you have any food, Reb?" And the rebel said, "Yes, I have some cookies and rice." They met in the middle of that causeway, and they shared each other's food and drink. And when that was over with, they went back to their camps. And the next morning, one of the bloodiest battles that ever happened between those two factions occurred. We killed each other in our own land. You know, in Vietnam, in 15 years, we lost about 58,000 men and women. In 3 days in America, and three different battles in two different places, we lost 60,000 men and women. It's an incredible factor, and it is overwhelming to contemplate the amount of destruction that took place in those places. And yet Gettysburg would be the final battle that would decide who would win. And yes, the war went on for a couple of years after that, but Gettysburg was pretty much the end. And the mistakes that were made by the Confederacy, to the ultimate mistake of violating all the rules of war, marching up a hill into cannon fire, the Confederacy were demolished. And it was pretty much done. But it really wasn't Robert E. Lee's decision to do that. God was involved, and God won for us again. We cannot imagine a United States divided in such a way as it would have been had that not happened. The Church of 1830 that God wants on this earth when He comes is still here. And by all accounts, that seems impossible. By the forces that try to destroy it, lack of faith, fear of the unknown, desire for control within the church, the murder of Joseph Smith by those who didn't want him to be the prophet. No organized church existed after that for 16 years. Should have been the end of the church, but that's not what God wanted. We don't always know what God wants, and it seems strange that some things happen and we think that it's not going the right direction. But God knows exactly what He's doing. We know that. And we don't always know exactly what we're doing. But we can trust in God. Document 156 should have ended it. It didn't. The original gospel was denied. The three standard books have been sidelined, and we have all kinds of factional happenings in this area and around the country as a result of that. But the Church of 1830 still exists. And that's what's important to God. Oh, He'd love to save all of them, and He's not going to give up on one of them. But He wants them to believe. As an elder in this church, I don't see why we should have any doubts about His planning. And we should not try to establish or prove how quickly He will come. He says He will come quickly, but He doesn't have a watch. And quickly to Him doesn't mean the same as quickly to you and I. Quickly to Him on a grand scale of things is a long period of time. Can be. Doesn't say that it is, but it can be. We should not try to establish or prove how quickly He will come. He says He'll come quickly. He will come quickly. And if He says He's going to come quickly, then we better be prepared. Because if He comes tonight, some of us are not ready for that. And you say, well, he's not coming tonight. In Matthew 24, he says, he'll come when you think not. There's not going to be any list that we can check off and say these things haven't happened yet, so therefore he's not coming. The Lord told his own disciples, be careful. You don't know when he's coming. When you think not, when you least expect it, that's when he's going to come. And that's why he says to be prepared. Always be prepared. The advantage is God's, not ours. The warnings are ours to be prepared. And hasn't he given us enough? Is there anything else that I could say or anyone could say to you to put you over the top? It's all been said. And now you need to go to work and prepare for that time. Yesterday in the news it said, back on the patriotic topic, that one-third of our youth say that they are not patriotic. And when I look at the last four decades, I can understand that, because there was no rallying, wonderful end of World War II that brought patriotism to a higher level in this country. And it's ebbed away in the last few decades. In my neighborhood, I'm the only person who flies a flag every day. And I don't say that because, hey, look over here, I got a flag. Where's yours? You know, isn't it great? Look at this. Isn't it a good window? Hey, I'm a veteran. I'm patriotic. Look at a flag. When I look at that flag, and the reason I fly my flag is because I love my country. That's number one. I lost dear friends in the war. That's number two. Number three, I believe that this is the land of promise and that this is the land that the Lord will use in the last days for the building of his holy city, in which we will reside for 1,000 years. What a glorious time that will be. But that flag represents so much more than just a piece of cloth. It is something that represents men and women and their desire to make this country a safe place for their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren, although they may never see them. They may never know who they are. We need to stay tuned to what's going on in the world. The world is that. And the Lord tells us not to be a part of the world. But we need to know what's going on in the world so that we can stay focused. His world is coming, and we know that. And it's not just for a few months or a few days. It's for eternity. And he wants all of us to be a part of that. His word has always been with us from the beginning of his creation. We haven't been very good caretakers of it, but it's always been there. And for eons of time, we have had war. And most of the time, several wars going on at the same time. America still exists. It is the only country that has not been conquered, at least partially. It's the only country that has never been held in captivity, and it is the land of promise. I'd like to take a moment right now, because it seems like a diversion, but it isn't, because it's very American. People of the Buckner branch are very, very generous people. Very loving people. You don't hesitate to give of your time and your strength. And in this few seconds that I want to say something about this, I want to acknowledge your helping Crossroads Shelter. Because it's like a war. It's like a battle that we're fighting. And the Lord said, the poor will always be with us. So for the little children, and the aged and the battered and the sick and the homeless, may I take this opportunity to say thank you. You'll never see their faces, and they probably won't see yours, but they know that you exist. We make just a few lives a little bit brighter. The little box that we have in the lobby for those surplus items that others so desperately need. Please allow that little box to remain in the lobby as long as we have poor among us. To me, there is nothing more impacting than the patriotic music. As I've said, we've often hear that these times of the year, we sing these songs. We don't often read the words, but we sing the songs. For all of those men and women, and for all those white stones that are neatly placed in fields of battle, or in a national cemetery for those who never came home, and for those who have remains that have been buried, we have no idea who they are. The following words describe them. Here rest in honored glory an American soldier known but to God, but really known by God. Here are some of the words of our 16th president, my favorite. At a cemetery in Pennsylvania, at those fields of death, where he dedicated those fields in November of 1863. The battle, of course, was Gettysburg. We are met on a great battlefield of war. We dedicate a portion of it as a final resting place for those who died here, that the nation might live. From these honored dead, we take increased devotion. That we here highly resolve these dead shall not have died in vain. That the nation shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. God has blessed this land and this nation. Let us never forget to remember what is required of us, our full measure of devotion to God and country. And now as I close, please accept a few words of peace and assurance. And I'm going to take some of it from our scripture of this week and another from a hymn that has become most popular to today. And I had this written before I ever knew those things were going to happen. But that's the way God works. Psalms 23. We are encouraged to lie down in green pastures, to walk beside the still waters. He will restore our souls and lead us in the paths of righteousness. His guidance will comfort us. We will fear no evil, because God will be with us, as He always has been, for those who believe in Him. He anoints our head with oil, our cup runneth over, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever? Wow. What words. How inspired was David when he wrote those words, and how they mean everything to us today. And from the closing hymn that we heard sung so beautifully by our young people, hymn 100, there are certain word pictures that I get whenever I hear this song, and the beauty and the majesty of it and the promises are quite evident. Beautiful and spacious skies, above amber waves of grain and majestic mountains, looking down on field after field of food crops. We owe so much to those who blaze trails of discovery here. The heroes who sacrificed for us because they loved their country more than they loved themselves. The tears we shed cannot diminish the devotion they had for the future of this land. Our prayer this evening, expressed in this beautiful hymn, simply says, Our Heavenly Father, we want you to shed grace on this land of choice, this land of promise. America, America, from shore to shore, God shed your grace on us, and may every noble and divine gain shine for you. God has plans for you. God has plans for us, and He plans to win. And I say before you this evening, in all faith and all knowledge and knowing, that when God makes a promise, He keeps that promise. He only asks for us to follow Him and believe. And He plans to win in the very near future. So we thank You, Father, for that independence and that time and that place where all these things will come together. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name, Your Son. Amen.